So first, let's talk about what you've called the sensual atrophy of prison. In terms of the sensory palate, obviously prison offers little to nothing. It's ugly colors. It's not much visual stimuli. It's bad smells. So you've talked about needing to generate a self-created pool of muses. Walk me through that process of fighting sensual atrophy by generating a pool of your own muses.
I think that it starts with doing exercises or even just creating distractions, quote unquote, that isolate or just maybe enhance your imagination. So, just say, for example, like it's a common theme in prison where, like, our taste buds have been dulled, if you will. Like, we are not experiencing cuisine, or culinary art at its highest heights. Like this, like the food is bland. You only have access to processed foods, so on and so forth. And you have to almost tap into your either previous memories of what certain foods taste like, or you have to drum up like a creative imagination on when you're watching a cooking show, what does that taste like? What does pure garlic taste like? And so it just like everything becomes, particularly if you are trying to transcend this present concrete inadequate environment, everything becomes just you almost pressing the proverbial button and going into your own recesses of your mind and imagination to create these, like I say, whether it be taste, whether it be colors, whether it be, certain sights, sounds. Like I was commenting to a person yesterday, like we don't hear sirens as much in prison. So the off chance that you do hear a siren, whether it be police, ambulance, it sticks with you, and you start to imagine, I wonder where is that going? What is it for? And so all these things just kind of show you on a daily basis the demand of maintaining a healthy and even a robust or just full and enriched imagination and creativity. And so, just to kind of combat this sensory deprivation, we do it unconsciously. It's almost a subconscious exercise. But when you're conscious of it, you intentionally look for images. You intentionally look for programs. You intentionally look for or listen, try to listen instead of just hearing. You try to listen for sounds that distinguish themselves from the norm or distinguish themselves from the mundane.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's great. Awesome. Well, so my next question, so any men's prison is an atmosphere of pervasive, kind of stereotypically masculine energy. We talked about this before. So how does that affect your creative process, and how do you find ways to tap into the feminine, despite your environment?
It certainly is a challenge where you are overwhelmed with, and it's one thing to say masculinity, it's another to say hyper masculinity. I think if this was just in an environment that had a basic level of, or even just a subtle difference in the amount and ratio of feminine to masculine, you could understand that. Like that would almost like if you're in a room watching a sports game, you would imagine that there would probably be a few more men than women, but for the most part, there is some semblance of feminine energy, so on and so forth. In these type of institutions, in these type of circles and sects, you have a disproportionate, and like I say, it becomes a hyper masculine culture. And as far as we know, creativity does not thrive. It does not, function well in any environment that's over, just beyond the norm, even like where it doesn't become a matter of degrees, but it almost becomes distorted, if you will. And the challenge for me is to find avenues or even just to remove myself individually and personally from the temptation of like, just sometimes you get caught up with trying to match masculine with masculine, or you understand, like, hey, I have to approach this environment from an assertive, maybe even aggressive perspective. You have to challenge yourself not to try to bring resolution through this fire with fire. And it becomes a personal challenge to seek out what we may deem to be more feminine perspectives, more feminine expressions. And you just have to almost will yourself into these forums, into, you know, just these expressions. And it helps to have women in your life where you can talk to, or just seek out what we deem to be more softer, gentler interests, and just yield to it and say, like, hey, I can be in prison in an all-male institution but still be concerned about how certain colors affect me, or I can still be concerned about certain artistic and aesthetics. Like, there's, like, I am not in violation of my manhood by looking to this or accepting this reality of, hey, beauty does have a place in the realm of our existence.
Perfect. Well, I want to move to kind of a related question, which is that we've spoken before about the challenge of creating while not being exposed to much of what you call right brain energy. Can you talk about what you mean by right brain energy and how you confront that challenge?
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, right brain energy is just this, and I always look at it from a sense of, like, harmony, where if we say left brain is more kind of where you have a tendency to distinguish things one from another. You have a tendency to be more concrete, more analytical, more intellectual, if you will, where right brain is more instinctive, where you are more in tune with feelings. You are appreciating, just give you a offhand example, you're appreciating movies not just from some crude plot line or some witty line that an actor and actress says, but you're appreciating the camera angles. You're appreciating the colors. You're appreciating the costumes. You're appreciating the effects. And you know, that's beneficial just in life in general, when you are able to apply this certain eye and perspective. Like, it allows you to see beyond the superficial. It allows you to see beyond the obvious. And it, for all intents and purposes, you become a little bit more sensitive to the nuance of it, and it translates to social interaction, where you're able to talk to someone and have them, where you're able to read body language. So no matter what they say out of their mouth, you're able to read their lack of eye contact. You're able to read their body language and deduce certain conclusions from this. Like, this is all about being in that rhythmic, elevated, dare I say, even poetic kind of way of living. And this is kind of just some of the essence of this right-brained mentality, or just being a little bit more right-brained, even in a sea of concrete, and a sea of, you know, just basic day-to-day superficial life.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, as an Envisioning Justice Fellow, you recently collaborated with the artist Alexandra Antoine on the project Our Agreements. That's how I first found out about you. So talk about what it's like to work on a creative project with a collaborator who's on the outside, and how you negotiated that kind of process of, you know, you being in, she's out, y'all are trying to communicate, you're trying to collaborate on something. What was that like?
and you know, at first glance, I thought that it would be rather difficult just due to the constraints on being in prison, whether it be communication, like nothing is in real time, maybe except phone calls. And I thought that there would have to be a steady back and forth, whether it be with this side, like if I present an idea, you know, or just me not having a full understanding or not being there in person to see how it would be executed, so on and so forth. But to my surprise, it was rather seamless. Like, I was surprised at how we were able to navigate through, you know, obviously, you know, when you prepare, you know, preparation, I always just value the importance of being prepared. When you prepare for something and you're prepared for these type of get-togethers and, you know, just kind of combinations, it makes a world of difference. But, you know, we were able to accomplish a lot over the phone of, you know, just kind of subtle, you know, nudges and, like I say, interaction. We were able to, you know, kind of just, like I say, make certain recordings about certain chapters. And, you know, so I really didn't find that prison created, you know, just a wall, you know, you would think prison is walls and gates, like literally, but figuratively, there was not a wall in this combination and of just, you know, two artistic people kind of coming together. And, you know, to all the credit to her as well, where she, you know, was able to bend and shape, you know, just like I say, scheduling and, you know, just opportunities. And, you know, so it wasn't that difficult, like not even from a logistical standpoint or even mentally. Like it seemed to be, you know, fairly just easy. And, you know, it flowed. It was just a fluidity to it. And, you know, I'm appreciative of, you know, just her will and mine as well of just trying to come together and make it work.
Well, that's great. And it was a great project. I hope people will go check it out after they listen. Absolutely. To this.